Jeremiah 11. The word of God that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Isn't that an exciting verse? Amen. Don't you want the word of Amen. God to come to you personally?
Yes.
Woo! And he said, hear the words of this covenant and speak to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Last week we talked about covenant. We talked about the covenant with Satan in the flesh, living in this world, serving the master of sin, being entrapped and imprisoned to hurt and disappointment, rejection and lust and greed and pride and all the things that belong to him. But God says, come out. Come into a covenant. That's an agreement. It is not just all of a sudden we're right here at the edge of decision and we say, I believe Jesus died for sin. He can pay for my sin. Come in my heart, take all my sin, and I go back to my way. That's not a covenant.
Nope.
God offers, first of all, his covenant. If you will hear my words, be my people, I will be your God.
Amen.
There's an agreement there.
Right.
We talked about that, coming into God's ways, God's agreement. And then, in order to come into God, the blood of Christ is there to deal with your sin and to pay for your sin. So we talked about that last week. And God said, hear the words of this covenant. And speak to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to God's people, and say to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeys not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them. According to all which I command you, so shall you be my people, and I will be your God. Proclaim these words, all of these words. Hear the words and do them. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. God calls us into an agreement where we choose that we're going to begin to obey the voice of God. Jesus is not just your escape route from hell and paying for your own sin.
Amen.
He is an escape route from sin and everything about it.
Right.
He has a whole different life for you.
Right.
I forgot my painting. I have a new painting and I wanted to share it with you. And I painted it for my niece, but it's for you. It's for all of us. It's the same message that here's this vase, this deep purple vase. And God shines a light into the belly of the vase, and we see little traces of colors in there. Now here's this whole background of the past, the vase which is our present, representing us. But down in the belly of the vase is the life not released yet. There's all the colors of the life in God and everything he has when we come in agreement with his covenant. I will that you be my God. I want to obey your voice. I have seen the ways of Satan. God gave me a revelation lately. Somebody said to me, I'm mad at God. Why did he make a devil and put him on this earth that we would be born in sin and slave to him? And I asked God that question. But you know, he didn't make an evil devil. He made a beautiful Lucifer.
Right.
He made a beautiful worship leader in heaven, Lucifer, covered in jewels, the most beautiful voice. He called it pipes. I think that guy had range we've never dreamed of. He could sing anything. He was so gorgeous in all the glory of worshiping, leading all the angels to worship God, that he got proud and said, you should worship me. I am like God. I am beautiful and glorious. I should be worshiped. Well, that guy is full of deception because he made some of those angels believe that he would be better to be their God. And they followed him. And God created the earth, and he put Lucifer down here. He became the devil, Satan, wicked, evil. He didn't know. The angels didn't know what that would lead to. They didn't know what lying and deceiving and hatred and hurt and evil and ugliness would be their future. They didn't know. There was rebellion in heaven. Okay, God, we think we want to try another way. Maybe it's better. They found out it was worse. And they have an eternity in the fire of hell in the dark black pit without a bottom forever because they chose a different way.
Amen.
God does not want any more rebellion in heaven. He wants a perfect, wonderful heaven for us. And he's protecting it. So we are born into this world. We get to have a close-up look at Satan's way. We get a real good eye-opening experience of what it's like to serve that master. It hurts. It's devastating. It's terrible. We don't like it. It's beating us up. It's abusing us. It's hurting us. And then we see God.
Yep.
We see another choice. See, they started with God and saw another choice, didn't know the future. We start with this and see another choice.
Right.
And we go, no way do I want that for eternity. I don't want it now. I want this.
Amen.
And when we get converted and the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in us and we get loved and we get to know this God and we keep saying, yes, yes, this is what I want. And when we go to heaven, there is no way we would ever choose that.
Amen.
We wouldn't choose it. There'll be no rebellion in heaven. We've already had that. No thanks for a second helping.
Right.
We like this. God is smart.
Amen.
But his covenant, his heaven, his ways means we have to trust him. We have to trust him. He's good. He's always good. He loves us. He always loves us. And when he lets something bad happen to us, it's for our good. If we were never poor, we'd be afraid of being poor. Paul said, I've learned how to be abased, and I've learned how to abound. Well, I've been through poverty. I'm not afraid of poverty. And you can't scare me with poverty. I've been there, and God took good care of me. I saw more miracles of provision when I needed them. I'm not afraid of poverty. I'm not afraid of jail. My own fault, I went to jail for shoplifting. I could excuse, I'm shoplifting to feed my kids. Evil is evil. There's no good excuse.
Amen.
I went to jail. I was terrified the first day, but then I survived it. And you know what? I survived it when I was backslidden with a rotten attitude. Well, if I went to jail for Jesus, you can't scare me with that. I just go in there and preach. Does it mean it'd be easy? No. But when bad things happen, we have to know that all things work to good, together for good, to those who love the Lord and are called according
Amen.
To his purpose.
Amen.
He's refining us. He's changing us. He's strengthening our weaknesses. The way to strengthen a weakness is face it and conquer it. Face those spirits and conquer them. So he brings us to face them. And then we gain strength and power over them. No, it's not always easy in this covenant. But it's always right.
Amen.
And it leads to our good.
Amen.
And when we choose this covenant, we are saying, you are my choice.
Amen.
Not this.
Right.
I hate verse 8 because it says, Jeremiah went out and he gave him all the words. But verse 8 says, yet they obeyed not. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear. They didn't even listen. They didn't even consider obeying God. They didn't even listen. They didn't even lean over close to hear what he had to say. They didn't incline their ear. But they walked, every one of them, in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore, I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not do them. This is a little bit hard this morning because it's to God's people. He said, I made a covenant, and you said yes, and you came into it, and then I spoke into your life and told you what I want you to do, and you didn't do it because you're full of your own thoughts, your own ways, and your own plans, and you didn't even hear what I wanted for you. You wouldn't even receive it. Has God spoken to you? Has he called you out? God had brought these people out of the slavery of Egypt. He brought us out of slavery to sin. Why do we keep serving it? We've had preachers. We have Bibles. We have witnesses. We have heard what God has to say here in America. Genesis 13:13. We're going to take a look at the city of Sodom. Sodom. We talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. God wiped out the whole city. He burned it out. Genesis 13:13. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Then the Lord rained, in verse 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Now, I want you to get a picture of that. There were only Lot, his wife, and his daughters that lived there. And the angels of God went and led them out before he destroyed that city. But Lot's wife, and God warned, do not look back. She looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. When God brings you out, don't look back going, but I missed that. Well, my friends are over there doing that. I don't want to be with them. Don't look back. Don't look back. When he brings you out, look forward. Sodom was known for homosexuality. God warned me. He warned me. He prepared me. He warned me and prepared me years ago. He said, I'm going to have you preach against homosexuality in America. I'm going to have you preach to them. I'm sorry, he didn't say against. He said, I'm going to have you preach to them. I'm going to have you preach my love to them. God loves the gays.
Right.
He hates their sin.
Right. Amen.
He hates their choice. But he loves them. And he said, I'm going to have you preach my love to them and plead with them, come out of that sin. Let me heal you. Let me make you what I created you to be. Let me give you love and a new life. And then they are going to hate you for the message. They're going to reject the message, and they're going to accuse you of hatefulness because you don't accept their gayness. He said, now I'm going to have to give you a 6-car length all the way around you, protection, so they don't kill you. That is coming to America.
Right.
These things God is showing me are prophetic. I like to say, coming to America soon. In a city near you. That's the warning. It's not a movie, it's a reality. But it is coming to a city near you. Have you been watching the news? Weather, floods, fires, things that man isn't doing. It's not war, it's straight from God. He controls the weather. Why? He rained fire on this wicked city. The only real sin we know was lust and homosexuality in that city. And he destroyed them all for being so exceeding wicked. Is America guilty of the same sin?
Yep.
And murder. Mass murder. We talk about Hitler. Mass murder of the Jewish people. What about America? Mass murder of innocent babies in the womb.
Amen.
Abortion. Yep. Murdering unborn children because they're a problem. They're a burden. They're a hindrance. They're going to mess up my body, my pretty figure. They're going to ruin my life. I can't have the fun, my job, my career, my money. A baby is a burden. Kill it. No, they don't say we're killing a baby. It's not a real person yet. But you know what God says? You were designed in his heart way before he even put you in the womb. Before you were in your mother's womb, he says, I knew you.
That's right.
They're humans. They're people. They're designed by God, and we murder them. America's guilty of homosexuality. We are guilty of abortion.
Yep.
Why am I saying that to you? You didn't do it. Maybe you did, and God will forgive you. God will forgive you of everything and anything you've done. Right by the blood of Christ. He paid for that. But the reason I bring this about America is because we live here. We live here. We live here. And when it comes here, we're here.
Amen.
What are we going to do?
Amen.
What are we going to do when fire or floods or disaster hit our streets? What are we going to do? We're going to rescue the perishing. We're going to be ready to tell the people that suddenly go, whoa, I'm afraid. Is God real? We need to be there to say, yes, he is.
Yep.
Welcome. Come to him. It's not too late. If you're breathing, it's not too late. Once you stop breathing, it is too late.
Amen.
Jesus was talking in Matthew 11, verse 23, to a city called Capernaum. Jesus traveled to many cities. But he did a lot. I read a commentary that said Most of the miracles, most of the stuff Jesus did was in Capernaum. It was a city that was full of the presence and the workings of God. But they rejected him. And he came to Capernaum and he said, "And you, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." Where Jesus has poured out his presence, his preachers, his churches, his pleading, abundance of Bibles, abundance of opportunity, where he has come and presented himself to a people, he says, "You are in more trouble than Sodom."
Right.
Because Sodom did not reject Christ. They were never offered Christ. They rejected God, the Father. They did not reject Christ, the Savior, who came and died on the cross. They had not heard about him. America has abundantly heard about Christ.
Yep.
We have Bibles. We're not a remote village in some little backwoods place that goes, we've never heard. You know, they movie films in, they take in, they set up projectors and screens like this, and they have to show them from Genesis who God is and what he did and about the sin and about the fall and then about Jesus who came and died. And then these people in these little villages go, "I never knew." But we know.
Amen.
America knows.
Right.
You know. You know. You fully know your choice. You are aware when you say, "I don't want to go to church, the ball game's on." You know. "I don't want to read a Bible. I got five of them in the house. I'd rather go watch something on TV." You know. Down inside, God is calling you. He has spoken to you. Has he spoken to you? What does he ask of you? Has he said? What does he ask of us? That we walk humbly with our God and do what's right. How hard is that? I still can't get over it. I say it all the time. Jesus healed. He cast out the demons. He did wonderful things. And the people went, "Don't stay in our town. Get out." Is that what we say? "Jesus, your light is shining on my sin. I'm being exposed. I don't want to be exposed because I don't want to stop. Get out." America has rejected Christ.
Amen.
America has rejected Christ.
Right.
It's against the law to pray in school. It's against the law. They're trying to get God off our money. They want God out of our schools. People rise up and have a fit if we put a manger scene out at Christmas to celebrate his birthday. They don't want to have to look at that. Why? It convicts them of their sin. The
right.
light shines in the darkness, and
Amen.
The darkness doesn't understand it, and the darkness hates the light.
Amen.
But we're his people. We can't compromise. We can't live on the line, one foot there and one foot here.
Nope.
We got to get on one side of the fence.
Amen.
We got to choose our side and stand there, no matter what it costs.
Amen.
No matter who likes it or doesn't. No matter even if your own beloved ones reject you for it. We got to take a stand. Luke 9:23. You know, God keeps bringing me back to this same section of verses like every week. Every repentance message, he comes back to end it with this. I think it's ending. It's getting real close. Luke 9:23. I'm never going to promise. I'm landing this plane one more verse because, you know, preachers, they plan to, but it's like they got a long runway, you know. It takes a long time to land a plane. I'm not even going to give you that deception. Luke 9:23. Jesus said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever will lose his life, no, whoever will save his life shall lose it. But whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. For what is a man advantaged if he gains the whole world but loses himself or be cast away? For whoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You know, holy angels were here last week. We're getting ready in a few minutes. We're going to go into that deep, intimate worship, I think. I mean, I say that every week, you know, hey, you're going to do that today. You know that, you know. If God is willing and present, we're going to go into deep, intimate worship pretty soon. And as hungry as Nate carries that around and wants it, I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. But what if God shows up today? You know what his glory is? The goodness of God? The bright light. Light has come to shine in darkness. We have some darkness in us. Do we welcome the light to come and shine? Because we want the darkness gone, that we can just bask in his light and his glory. When the angels come in, when they usher in, I can just see it already. Angels, tons of them coming in and just creating. They're all over the room with an open aisle, and in comes Christ in all his glory.
Amen.
The bright light that's going to show you your sin. And if you say, oh, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, forgive me, because I want the light. Do you want the light? You know, we're stuffy Americans. I'm sorry, but we are, me included, stuffy, proud Americans.
Shame on us.
Africa, they fall down on the floor and weep. They just fall down in humility. Oh, Jesus! We're like, oh, Jesus is in the room. But you know, if I'm going to cry up there, hide. How am I going to see me cry? We hide. Don't hide today.
Amen.
Don't hide today. You know, a few people don't hide. Mersada. Harvey. We have a few, Glenn. We have a few people that are just all outright, here I am and everything I feel just falling out of me, you know. But that's good, because maybe it helps the rest of us unzip a little stuffiness, you know, and woo, raise my hand. I'm excited. Come out a little bit, you know. Tap a foot. I don't care if you move or don't move. I care inside. Open up.
Amen.
Open up. Want to see him. Want to know him. Want to be touched by him. You know, we're not going to be stuffy when it's all over. We're not going to be stuffy when disaster hits. We're running down that road screaming, which way do I go, God? When the stuffiness is gone. We're not going to be stuffy in the judgment day when we stand before him. All that pride's going to be gone. We're just going to stand there naked-faced. Everything known. Let's get unstuffed today instead of waiting for that day.
Amen.
Let's do it now. Let's do it now. Let's seek him today while he may be found. Let's let him seek us and be found. Let us beg for repentance. Let that fire fall inside of me, God. Burn up everything that's not you. Let that light shine in me. Every closet, every room, shine in me and reveal everything you don't want. Get rid of it, because I want to be in oneness with you. Come after me, God, because I'm coming after you. You know, we don't even come after him unless he draws us. If there's anything in you saying, I want that, then he's drawing you.
Amen.
He's drawing you. You just sit there someday when you're cold like an ice cube, because I've done it. I sure wish I felt like seeking God today, but I don't. You can't come unless he's drawing you.
Right.
And if he's drawing you, now is the time to move on that. Because when he's not drawing you, you can't come. See, he's real. And his presence is real. Let's just pretend for a minute I'm him. And I walk up to you and I say, I want you today. Let me touch you. Let me love you. Let me forgive you. It's an excuse to love my husband some more. I'm so glad he's home. He's feeling me touch him. He knows that I'm here. I'm here for him. He can respond to me right now. But when I back up and I go out of sight, he can't feel me anymore. If you feel God pulling on you, that's when you have to give in to him.
Amen.
Don't wait. Don't wait. Do you want him to come after you today?
Yeah.
Then
Amen.
Tell him that.
Amen.
Tell him. Got him sitting here like a dumb bump on a log, dead as a rock. Please wake me up. God, I don't have hungering. Please stir me up. God, I'm full of pride, but I choose to kick it out. Oh, my goodness. Make a choice. You think that's not real? I seriously, God, I'm not real sure about this pride thing. Is it really just a spirit and it's not me? Well, then if it's just a spirit right now, I choose that it gets out of me.
Amen.
I don't want it in me. You'll change how you feel.
Amen.
Your thoughts will change.
Amen.
God, I'm depressed. And I can't help it. It's a spirit.
That's right.
Really? Well, if you're a spirit depression, I don't want to feel you anymore. Get out of me.
Amen.
Now, God may tell you to do something to prove you mean it. If you really don't want that pride, stand up. If you really don't want that depression, stand up.
Amen.
Whatever's in you right now holding you back, if you really don't want it, stand up and tell it to get out. Tell it to get out right now. And let's have our worship team come. And let's beg and pray. God, please pursue me. Please show up. Please pursue me. I want to meet with you today. Come after me, God. Come after me. Break my chains and set me free.